Loli, the apology from Honorable BB. I don't know as whether you also received it, but you can deal with the apologies. We'll also request members if they've got apologies that they've been given to
we received apologies from the Minister, Deputy Minister, Honorable BP and Honorable Labuschagne.
Okay.
Council Chairperson?
Yeah, Honorable Arnold.
And I also indicate that Commissioner Makausi is also apology for her.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Let's note all the apologies as received. I think other members will join us as and when we are moving. Members have requested that we move to Zoom. I hope it is well with our members that indeed we have moved to to Zoom. They've been complaining because of the Microsoft Teams. But staff members are complaining about Zoom. So it's opposite is the case. They were used to Microsoft Teams. Now they need to start the other training for the Zoom. But otherwise, that is that. We'll request the department without wasting any time. The acting DG will have remarks and she'll tell us whether she's the one who will deal with the presentation or she'll hand over to the postdoc to deal with the presentation. But acting DG, the time is yours. We are in your hands now. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, and I hear congratulations are in order with the honor that you've bestowed on yourself by educating yourself. Congratulations. Good morning, honorable members. As you know me, my name is Nomvuyiswa Bhatyi. I do not want to delay, but safe to say today, Minister and Deputy Minister are in Cabinet. They are tabling the PCYR report and the incidental implementation plans thereof. That is the main reason of the apology. So we had to split our money. So that's what I wanted to be clear. So just as we start, Chair, you know, as you already said, it's wonderful that today we are here to discuss post-grant financial sustainability and how has COVID-19 has impacted their business and how they have adapted. Because I will tell you this, Chair, that we've noted that most of our entities have attempted to adapt to COVID-19. Yes, it might not be all green, but it's something that they are working towards and they've worked to bear that. Postbank has always come through at the most opportune time for SASSA payments and SASSA beneficiaries, and you would have seen with all the challenges that have been faced when it came to the 350 rand beneficiaries, they've managed to step up because they still rely on the SABO network, but they have made sure that SABO is financially ready and equipped. And for that, we're grateful and SASA to make sure these are delivered. We have here from Postbank, we have their acting managing director, Mr. Hannes. I'm not sure if the board members are here. He is the one that is going to go through the presentation. It was quite long, the presentation, so I do not want to waste any time. Hannes, I see also the board chair is here, Mrs. Pumzo Nopaka. So I'll hand over to Pumzo Nopaka. I see she's here. Over to you, Susie. Sorry for not noticing you before as the board chair. Thank you.
Good morning to everyone. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning to the Portfolio Committee members, to DCDT, as well as the Postbank officials. Thank you for this opportunity that has been presented to us as a Postbank and present. Certainly, the pandemic has affected many businesses. We've had recent reports that the South African economy has contracted quite significantly. As a postbank, we've also been impacted, not to the extent that we had anticipated, but albeit we have then had to review our strategic plans and to respond to the current challenges and opportunities that were also presented by the pandemic. So very important for us was to ensure that as a government entity, we align with national government's imperatives, and in particular to the programs that government has taken a decision on to assist, in particular, the poorest of the poor within South Africa. So today I'm accompanied by the acting CEO, as well as our acting CFO, who will then take us through the presentation that we've prepared, as well as talk to the financial considerations and also talk to our reach throughout South Africa. I think from a financial point of view, as the postbank, it is very important for us to ensure that we conduct business in a very responsible manner to ensure that we remain sustainable into the future. And therefore, whatever we do, it is important that we espouse these principles. So we'll also be talking to some of our programs that we as a postbank have then implemented in this regard. So if you will allow me, Chairperson, I would like to give an opportunity to the acting CEO to then take us through the presentation.
Yeah. We are in your hands. There is another person who has not muted the mic.
Chairperson, can I just come in quickly?
Okay.
I think the previous speaker, we couldn't see the speaker on video was not on. So I think maybe you must just put out that the videos of those who speak must be put on. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, so that we can align the voice with the
Okay. My apologies on that part. Can I just request the acting CEO just to remove the presentation for a brief second so that I can then be visible to the committee?
We are seeing you.
That is not me, Chairperson. I don't know who it is. But my video is supposed to be on, but that's certainly not.
No, your video.
So I don't know what seems to be the problem. Okay.
We can see,
all right.
We can see you. Right? No, it's fine.
Okay.
When you respond, you will bring back your video. We'll be able to see you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank
you. CEO, you can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee, colleagues of the department. Thank you for the opportunity for Postbank to present here. And I think of the colleagues will just bring up the presentation for us. I will not spend too much time on the contents, but I think it is important because this is the first time that Postbank actually on its own, thank you, I'm on the contents page, please. It's the first time that Postbank then reports directly to the portfolio committee in its own right. So what we thought is just to give the committee just a brief background to where we come from, what is our mandate, our mission, vision, values. We will then do a little bit of touching base on Postbank customer reach at the moment, our service model, the account growth year to date, and then obviously the COVID-19 unemployment grant facilities, and then financially literacy programs. I see somebody have removed that, but I'll take it from the presentation. Then we will deal with a few things on the COVID-19 impact on us. It's COVID-19 and not COVID-10, so we've moved beyond that one. But on the bank's operations, and then finally just look at the financial sustainability and our three-year projection. So, Chairperson, if I can go to the background, and I think it's the members may be well aware of this, but we thought just for context, if I can just briefly give background to where we come from. Postbank has been in existence for a number of years, decades, more than a decade actually. But in 1995-96, the government established the Staats Commission with the sole purpose of understanding the financial inclusion landscape. And then coming from the Commission's recommendations were a few of the following recommendations. One is the provision of financial policies. Provision of financial services must include grants, sustainable or suitable credit instruments, saving instruments, and in transactional facilities. The purpose then of Postbank going forward is that to increase access, to reduce risk and ensure sustainability, the rural finance institutions must be close to clients to be able to serve all the rural areas and have access to the money, to their money, and of course capital markets, and therefore they need to be nurtured by the state. They need to be, as a need for reconsidering of state support, reconsideration of state support, prudent regulation, because we don't want a rogue bank on our hands. The need for flexible low-cost institutions at local level, and then the recommendations was a two-tier structure required that allows for a state-supported wholesaler or as mentor and nurturer with maximum flexibility where clients are serviced, supported by NGOs, banks, co-ops, through the Postbank to have with appropriate supervision and cooperation with other DFIs. So that is just in brief the background where the whole corporatization of Postbank started following the Strauss Commission. If we can move then to the next two slides, the one is just the indicator, to slide number five, please. Just to briefly talk about Postbank's mandate. Postbank Limited was promulgated in 2010. The Postbank division of the South African Post Office was mandated to operate as a separate legal entity and to apply for a banking license with the South African Reserve Bank. Postbank is as yet not a fully registered bank, but it is a full clearing participant in the national payment system, and it offers secure, reliable, accessible, and affordable banking products, such as card-based transactional accounts and book-based savings accounts, predominantly to the unbanked and underbanked segments of our population. Chairperson, if I can ask the facilitator just to move to the next one, which is a continuation of the of our mandate. Just briefly on our banking license application, Postbank applied for a banking license in 2017, it was stalled a little bit because of legislative issues that need to be rectified, such as the Banks Act that had to be amended, which is already done, and then also depending on the Postbank Act that is up for amendment this year, hopefully through Parliament. Apologies. So Postbank applied for a banking license in June 2017, and it will then be considered by the South African Reserve Bank upon finalization of the bank controlling structure, which is then linked to the amendment of the Postbank Act and the submission of concomitant updates. The license is expected to open then a number of opportunities for the bank to compete in the industry, particularly lending bank assurance products, while it also pursues a core objective of becoming a preferred bank and the strategic partner in the delivery of government services to the South African government. as it is a state-owned bank, and I will speak later, Chairperson and honourable members, just briefly on our aspirations to be a prominent part of a new state bank. If I can continue then on the next one, Postbank, I think, Chairperson, it is important to note that Postbank is really unique in the South African financial services landscape, in that it has a specific objective of advancing financial inclusion, whereby giving effect to government policy, in addition to an objective of being financially sustainable to protect depositors' funds. And we took this mandate very seriously, Chairperson and honorable members. Postbank's mandate, apologies, or financial inclusion entails, amongst other provision of services like, apologies, to grow savings, to improve welfare, to create a safe transacting environment, and then to improve financial literacy. And Chairperson and honorable members, part of Postbank's unique position is the fact that it has access through the post offices network to the large percentage of our population because of the SALPO network, so that we can offer then retail service banking services as well as government to citizen services, irrespective of where they are in the country. We believe that it's a unique position that Postbank is in to use the network of SALPO going forward, irrespective of whether Postbank becomes a bank or not, we will always use them. And then Postbank is also actively pursuing a digitization strategy to increase access and convenience. And Chairperson, honorable members, the fact that we have this report to the portfolio committee, obviously prompted by COVID-19 and the likes, it actually just provided a unique view and a different dimension on digitalization. Previously, we talked about the fourth industrial revolution, but it was something that was not really that tangible. And I think the pandemic COVID-19 actually brought that really to the fore as an actual practical application of how it's done. So we will continue to build on that to make sure that we digitize our offering to customers so that they can transact wherever they are. Chairperson, honorable members, our vision and mission and values. Our vision is to be the trusted banking partner for financial inclusion. Our mission is to be the trusted partner for accessible, simple, and affordable banking solutions. Our values derived from that is to have passion for what we do, to provide personal growth for our employees, and by extension, our customers, a very high demand on accountability. Our focus is on the community, and specific focus then on SMEs and women, but our communities, our approach is to have a high level of collaboration, and then obviously for us, efficiency is key, especially in today's life, so that we can save and offer an efficient low-cost service that we can transfer the maximum value and benefit to our customers. Chairperson, just quickly have a look at the, we've already dealt with this, but the service delivery model of Postbank is through the SALPO branch model. I noticed that maybe the map have fallen off the radar, but the map indicated a very nice picture of the reach where Postbank have through post office networks, and it really is throughout the whole country. The numbers are there, it's at 1,332 branch post offices, then 59 post points, transportables is 18, and then 9 mobile offices. So in total, apart from the RPAs, total of 2,112 points of presence, which I think is not matched by any other bank in the country, although they have other means of connecting to their customers. And there's the map, and I think, Chairperson, honourable members, as you can see, it is quite quite representative across the country. If I can just touch base in the next slide to the financial inclusion. See, there's a slide that's missing, but I can talk to that one. I see the financial literacy programs have been taken out. That's not a problem. Let me just quickly come to my notes as well then. In terms of post-bank account portfolio and growth, Chairperson, honourable members, you will see that since January, our account growth has been fairly flat. We have not had a lot of growth, but fortunately also there was not a decline. But it's a steady performance, and we pride ourselves in the fact that we have a significant and a very loyal customer base. They don't leave Postbank just easily. Certainly going forward, we will address this, and we have programs in place to increase this account portfolio, especially when Postbank becomes a fully fledged bank, and through offering of unsecured lending and other financial instruments. We certainly believe that we will attract and then retain a lot more customers than we have now, because our value proposition without lending and bank assurance is seriously on the lean side, and we are not really that competitive then with the other banks. But Chairperson, this is just a view to say this is our performance. It is reasonably flat, but even in the April, May months when COVID-19 hit us, it remained of that nature. Not really going anywhere, but we are really fortunate about that. In terms of the deposit growth, the next slide, it portrays very much the same picture. Our deposit growth has been really very stable since the COVID-19 lockdowns and the various stages. Chairperson, honourable members, specifically to the COVID-19 unemployment grants, as the acting DG alluded to, Postbank welcomed the opportunity to open accounts for these citizens. We have, at this point in time, if you can see there, in July, we have opened 3.3 million accounts for COVID-19, 350 Rand recipients, which is then able to withdraw their funds from any post office in the country. So it grown substantially from March with only 14,000, and then in June it really picked up, and then currently we're standing at 3.3 million. The next slide just provides a little bit of view on the usage. There is a graph there, but I think it may have slipped over to the next page. But from a total distribution at this point in time, there was 6.3 million transactions credits that we've received from SASSA, to the total value of 3.265 billion. And up to the date of the compiling this presentation, the 4.027 million beneficiaries have withdrawn their funds to a total value of 2.6 billion. So in the reserve that still need to be withdrawn is around about 621 million rand that is up for grabs at post offices. So that is around about 81% of the beneficiaries have already withdrawn their funds, and that graph just depicts the amount that distributed by SASSA, what was withdrawn by the beneficiaries, and then the residual value. If I can go to the next slide, the impact on COVID-19 on our transaction volumes. If we can move to the next slide, please. Oh, I see the literacy programs have moved in here. I can talk to it, just if you can go to the next slide, please. Chairperson, honorable members, if I can just pause on this slide a little bit. One of our key responsibilities that we want to enhance much more than what we've done up to now is financial literacy. Because we do believe that specifically our experience with SASSA cards is beneficiaries have got a card in their hands. It's a digital instrument, but there's still a lot of dependency or a call on getting cash to use wherever, whatever they want to do with it. So we're taking our financial literacy program very seriously. And although it's really in its infant stages, we really want this to grow, this to become a much more effective mechanism with other government departments and entities. We believe that with cooperation with schools, with cooperation from even SASSA, the Department of Education, we can unpack a much more effective literacy program to our communities. So we conduct financial literacy programs across the country and at rural, peri-urban areas, focus on schools, as I said, the elderly, as well as general rural communities. Due to the COVID-19 restrictions, that was scaled down significantly, but we hope as soon as the restrictions are lifted, we will pick up on that as well. In addition to regional interviews are underway to onboard regional resources that can assist with these initiatives to strengthen us. Primarily post-bank partners, also with Banking Association of South Africa, where other member financial institutions also participate, with BASA taking the lead in organizing facilities of these programs. During this year, Postbank conducted more than 12 financial literacy programs, different settings during the 2019-20 financial year. And our revised performance plan, annual performance plan target for literacy programs is to conduct a further 10. It's obviously a little bit, if I can just ask the facilitator to pause and to click on on the video. So thank you very much. I don't think we need to, or if you're not in view presentation mode, it may not. Can you try to click on the picture, please? No, can you click on the picture above?
It doesn't seem to respond.
Yeah, okay. Chairperson, but it was just a short video clip just to show, and I don't know whether some of our other pictures prevailed. If you can just go through the next slide. We just added some pictures of our outreach in this environment. If you can maybe scroll further down until we get some of these pictures. It's just to give a scroll view that is...
I don't know what's going on here. Must I scroll down further?
Yeah, just I think there was just two slides with some of the pictures that we have. Oh, there is some of them is coming through, but they're reasonably distorted. But Jefferson, honorable members,
no, we do have those pictures. I think they're just compressed there.
Yeah,
we have got the slides we received have got those pictures. Yeah. You can just
thank you, Chairperson. So I will then skip on that, and then I think we've already dealt with the impact on. Let me deal with that one the impact on COVID-19. Up to now, we have been fortunate that the impact on our operations was not significant. We have had both we're in both global and local economic is well documented. The pandemic is affecting every government, every business, and every individual in the world and indeed in our country as well. So Postbank is no different to our customers, suppliers, and staff, and were impacted negatively by the pandemic, and specifically during the pandemic, the lockdown period. The consequences of that is that the risk profile of the bank deteriorated across all our risk types because of customers losing jobs and do not have money to save and invest their products. And staff productivity obviously is lower as a result of staff unable to work from the office or families that need to be taken care of. So it has had an impact on us, but it has not been that significantly. IT and data cost increased marginally because we needed to provide our staff with technology laptops as well as data packages, so that they can work from home. But as I said, not all key risks are tracked at an unacceptable level. The liquidity risk is well managed and at a cautionary level. So there is reason for marginal concern and for vigilance, but not overly over risk rate. But we are well aware of that, of the risks, and we have detailed action plans to mitigate, to monitor that to an acceptable level. In terms of our staff, Jefferson, the number of cases, we've only had 3 cases to date. We are very fortunate, maybe because we are just 2 locations, unlike SAFA, who's got the Bud Peter presence. We have to date had no deaths. We had 7 recoveries and so confirmed cases 10. So financial impact on staff have been 0, and we have not had any retrenchments or indication of retrenchments because of this. As a matter of fact, Postbank, which is building up to becoming a registered bank, is in a capacity building phase. So we are strong. We're not affected by that. Some of the remote working conditions, as I indicated there, is virtual meetings like we are doing now. We've become a standard of our day-to-day operations. Our call center have been working predominantly from the office until new facilities have been introduced to the system through toll-free numbers and the like. And we are also still trying to bring in a phased approach of bringing people back into the office with staff rotation and shift staggering to make sure that we keep our social distancing and not to introduce undue risk. But agreed performance standards set and agreed upon with both managers and employees. So we are continuing with business as usual, although in a little bit reduced fashion. Jefferson, the impact that COVID-19 had on us, the financial impact, you can see in terms of personal protective gear, we spent a total of only 2.08 million rand on that. So it was not that significant. On the left, it was predominantly laptops that we procured to enable staff to work from home, with a much smaller amount because of our smaller staff complement in terms of data, SIM cards, handsets, masks, sanitizers, and the equipment. So that is the impact that SASA had from that perspective. I can also mention, Jefferson, honorable members, that during the initial stages of the COVID-19 lockdown, all the banks all the banks agreed to waive certain fees on cash withdrawals, especially for SASSA. So that first month in March, we did not charge beneficiaries transaction fees on our ATMs and on our branches where we normally would have done. So the cost of that to the bank was about 9 million, just short of 10 million rand. That was for 1 month that it had, but we were able to absorb that cost on behalf of the beneficiaries. If I can ask you to move to the next slide, please. Thank you. as I said, in terms of the financial impact, as in July, as I said, 9 million we provided to we forfeited on revenue because of the free transactions, and our capital expenditure program of Postbank was fortunately not impacted on as yet by COVID. We have an estimated loss in turnover of around about 311 million rand, which is about 18.1% of our turnover. But I think we will be able to absorb that, and just looking forward to a growth when this is over. Next slide, please. I think there's a graph that would follow that one. Okay, it's also hiding away. Chairperson, it just shows obviously that during the period May-June when the special COVID-19 grants came into play, we had a significant increase in our transaction volumes. But fortunately, our systems were able to handle it, and we were able to pay our citizens on time. Apologies, Chairperson, honourable members, if you will allow me, I will then hand over to my interim CFO, Innocentia, who I think is much better qualified and in a position to talk about the finance detail of the finances than me. So if you allow me, I would like to hand over to Innocentia to take us through the financial reports. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honourable members.
Acting CFO. CFO.
Apologies, I was still on mute. Good morning, honourable members and colleagues. For the financial sustainability of Postbank, we thought we should share with you our performance for the first 4 months of this financial year compared to last month, and just give you a view of the performance for the full year in 2020. Albeit that view is not necessarily adjusted with the final adjustments and the audit adjustments because we are still finalizing our audit. So if you look at the performance to date for the first 4 months, we are reporting a profit before tax of about 215 million compared to 395 million last year. However, on an adjusted basis, the 395 million should actually be about 241 million because there was a late adjustment in the last financial year of the SASSA rate, which hasn't been reflected on here. So the performance, although it's lower than the same time last year, it is evident that despite the increased expenses because of COVID, the 9 million that we had to waive in the fees to our clients, and just the muted interest environment because of the reduced interest rates, we are still holding our own. So NII, as I said, is mainly driven by the muted interest rates. We have seen over 300 basis point reduction recently.
Our NIR is flat, as I said, on an adjusted basis because of the SASSA rate adjustment. And but it's projected to be to increase this financial year when we roll out our new projects, which are aimed at enhancing our non-interest revenue, so that the bank can reduce its dependency on interest revenue, and not have volatile results. Our expenses to date are only 4% up compared to last year. We are planning to roll out a few projects, this expense is going to be increasing over the financial year, but it's pleasing to see that we are only at 3%, which is below the inflation rate year to date. As I said, the 2020 view is just to give you a sense of the full year report, and just to highlight that because we are now a standalone entity, Postbank, for the first time, we were cushioned under the SAFO regime because they've got assess losses and we're just a division. We didn't have to pay a tax, but last year we had to pay tax to the tune of $228 million. The reduction there is because of deferred tax assets based on our tax values compared to our asset values. The next slide shows the financial position. You will note on this slide that we had about a balance sheet of about 13 billion at the end of the March financial year. It looks like it's reduced, but it's mainly skewed by when the SASSA cycle starts. So when we get the cash to start the cycle, and the grants, the SRD grants that would have received. So the position at July 2020 is slightly skewed by the increase in the opening of accounts that Hane shared with you in the previous slide. So the money that matches with those open accounts before they are actually withdrawn at support branches would sit on our balance sheet, especially if we haven't passed it on yet to facilitate that process. Balance sheet wise, we are fairly strong in that we've got a balance sheet that shows over 10 billion rand position. The two exposures on our balance sheet that we continuously monitor is one, the exposure to our land bank, and it's quite pleasing the developments that have been reported as late as this week on land bank that they were going to get the 3 billion announced by National Treasury in cash and not just guarantees, and they've even managed to raise some loans in the market. So our exposure, the risk that we're monitoring there has somewhat been relieved by the continued positive developments out of land bank. The other worrying exposure is the SAPO exposure, being apparent and having to work closely with them, especially on the SASSA project, that given their financial position, we are closely monitoring that and working with them to make sure that there is recoverability and our monies are not, or even SASSA's monies, because some of these monies are not necessarily Postbank's monies, are not usurped in their financial positions. We hope, honourable members and chairman, that we will be invited. Postbank will be invited at some point to share its corporate plan in detail with you. But we thought on the next slide we should share with you just to demonstrate the sustainability that we see in the bank going forward. Our projections, the fact that we are budgeting a fairly flat performance this financial year, one mainly driven by the reduced NIR, and because we are rolling out new projects in this financial year, there's a lot of investments which is driving the, our expenses for the for this financial year. The NI, the revenue from those projects will be end towards the end of the financial year and only be enhanced in the 2021-22 financial year as demonstrated on the slide. So the revenue is coming, but the investment has to be done in this financial year. Hence that skewed performance that it looks like we are not going to make any money, but it's the investment for the future, which we are quite comfortable with. And the other thing, as I said, the one of the reasons that we are quite excited about our digitization and channel enhancement programs is that our NIR will be enhanced, is projected to be enhanced from a contribution to total income of about 54% in the 2020 financial year to about 68% by 2022 and moving forward. The bank continues to also capacitate itself as we apply for our banking license to make sure that we've got permanent executives and the capacity of the bank is enhanced to demonstrate our capability to the regulators as we go on. Our financial positions, we believe, will be further enhanced with the increased offerings, both on from a product and channel perspective. And we will be able to enhance our financial positions as a result. As I said, counterparty risk, especially in this environment, is quite key to us. Also, the position of our clients, because right now our core business is in deposit taking. So as people get retrenched and start eating into their savings, is one of the things that we are closely monitoring on a daily basis since the lockdown to make sure that we are on top of that and see the red flags as they establish. We are happy to report, as the acting CEO mentioned earlier on, that we haven't seen any signs of distress in our clients yet in the heavy withdrawals of the deposits to date. We continue to monitor all key banking ratios, and we are comfortable that all of them are sound, and will stand us in good stead when we finalize our application and hopefully get there towards the end of the financial year. Cash flow wise, Postbank is also projected to generate positive cash flows, which will be funding our investment strategies and enhancing our positions. For instance, in the 2020 financial year, we managed to generate positive cash flows of about 1.3 billion, which is quite a good showing. But given the times and as I said, the investments, especially in the 2021 financial year, it might be minimized. But that's an investment that we believe is for the future and it's just building the foundation. I will pause at that. Thanks, Honourable Members.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you. Honourable Members, if I can just, before I hand back to my Chairperson, I think Postbank, we thought that just also give the committee just assurance that Postbank has appetite and capability going forward to assist in to play a role in a future state bank, being that we are already state owned. Chairperson, our deposit taking capability and participation in the national payment system, we believe is a very powerful capability that exists within the state. This capability, we believe, could be better leveraged to invest in socioeconomic development assets of national importance to develop it further, should therefore be an asset for all. The utilization of our deposit-taking capability, coupled with its core retail banking infrastructure and reach through the SAPO branch network and the national payment system, to the benefit of wider development objectives of the future state bank, will lower the burden of further capital raising requirements in the fiscus, already constrained by the high debt levels, to develop a state bank from scratch. Then, lastly, Chairperson, Postbank's goal is to continue momentum on the gradual digitization investment plan, which the CFO alluded to. We needed to invest in our systems and our AI capabilities so that we become more efficient, less, and our cost base is lowered, and have a much wider reach to our customers. So that plan will see Postbank broaden the current scale of operation activities, particularly in areas where the bank is better able to support government and its developmental agenda. Chairperson, I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to hand over to the chairperson for any other comments that she wished to make before on this matter. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Hey,
Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Acting MD and Interim CFO, for that introduction. What I'd like to just make the committee aware of is that what has been presented this morning basically is a picture of what the Postbank strategy is, which is centered on four key pillars. The first one being to corporatize, and we've made significant progress in that regard to corporatize the Postbank. And one of the legs that is associated with corporatization is ensuring that we obtain that banking license. So as was reported by the acting CEO, we have applied for the banking license, and we are yet to submit updates on financial information and other data so that the license application can be finalized and then considered by the Reserve Bank. And coupled again with that first pillar is ensuring that we become a fully fledged retail bank. So the second pillar then of our strategy is to ensure that we capacitate the bank in many respects, not only from a human capital point of view, but also from a systems point of view. I think it's important for us to ensure that we have a fit for purpose environment within the Postbank. So we are working towards that. The third critical, third pillar for our strategy then is then ensuring that we digitize the bank. I think the onset of the pandemic has made it even more critical for us to ensure that we really hasten our initiatives in that regard, to ensure that we provide a compelling customer value proposition to our customers by providing them with the different digital platforms. And the last pillar of our strategy is ensuring that we then become that government partner as a payment channel for government. So certainly we have staff resources that while we're not yet fully capacitated, we have got a staff complement, people who are really working hard towards ensuring that we achieve these strategic pillars. And I think what has been presented to you today talks to those key strategic pillars. Okay, thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, the Chairperson of the Board. Acting DG, before I can hand over, do you have anything to say?
Chair, I do not have anything to say at this point. Thank you very much. I think the presentation is ready for you to come to yourself to deliberate on it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. Honorable members, it's our time to engage with the presentation. Even though there is a raise your hand function, you know, our strategy is to allow everyone to speak. I'll just call the names. I'll start with Honorable Ngwenyan, and then Honorable Arnold, and then Honorable Claude, Honorable Nana, and Honorable Mudise, unless I've left anybody who joined later, I thought those are the...
Chairperson, Honorable Kluta, I'm covered, thank you.
Honorable Kluta is covered. Honorable Ngwenya?
Can you include me, Chair?
I have included you, Honorable Arnold, you are following. You are following Honorable Ngwenya.
I did it, yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Chair, let me take this opportunity to congratulate you in terms of your honor. Honorable Matibe has passed a master degree in public management. Siyabulela tata, siyabonga, siyanconcosa. Sithi enkosi. Imfundo ayikhulele.
We are humbled, House Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got possible questions that I wanted to ask. I wanted to say to the presenter, can you get a comparison in terms of the number of the customer account opened by people in rural and urban areas? I'm asking this question, Chair, because she said on the presentation, the presentation, Chair, does not provide this comparison in terms of the number of customers residing in rural and urban areas are members of the Post Bank. The second question, Chair, in the presentation, he also indicated that the approval for banking license is subjected to finalize on the controlling structure and amendment to Post Bank Act. The question is, who is responsible to finalize the control structure, and when will this controlling structure be finalized? I'm asking this question, Chairperson, because we want to see the Post Bank working fully without a limitation. What are the achievements of the Post Bank in the past years? That's my third question. And lastly, Chair, I wanted to check in terms of this Post Bank, that are they going to make ATMs? Because I never see ATMs at the post office. What we have seen when we go to oversight, the time we're at Gauteng, we enter in that post office and we find that old people that are still chewing on the bench, and they get money from the counter, and the place was not comfortable for the COVID 19 now. I don't know, because that time when we go there, there was no COVID 19. But I wanted to check now, Uguti Chair, how are they managing the queue on the social distance? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Arnold.
Thank you, Chairperson, and let me also congratulate you on your achievement. I think we need to call you Honorable Master.
I want to be called Dr. Honorable Arnold.
Okay, no, congrats. Let me also thank Post Bank for the presentation. I think this was a well informed presentation, putting together very well, and in terms of the information that is needed for the first round of our interactions with the Post Bank. And then let me just say that I think in supporting the Post Bank, I think they must continue now with being an effective and efficient bank in terms of assisting the poorest of the poor in the country. And I think they are capable of that, and they must just continue to do their business with all the professionality that there is, and then in terms of also now making sure that that banking license process speed up that process. But let me just ask them in terms of the how they are dealing now with the fraudulent transactions at Post Bank, because we know there was a lot of fraudulent transactions that was happening at a cost. I think it was about more than 50 million rand. So how are they dealing with that issue? And then also in terms of the efficient grant payment systems, can they just give us an indication in terms of the system? Is the system reliable? Are there any risk involved? And then the other question is, what happened to those, if we can get an update in terms of those banking employees that stole data from the bank, everything like that? I think we need to also have an update to ensure that we don't have this kind of problems or challenges with the bank from the start, so that we can have in future a sustainable a bank. Then, Chairperson, I think it's commendable to hear now that the deposit growth during the COVID-19 time has been stable, and I think we can commend the Post Bank for that. Just in terms of the board, can we just check now if there is stability in the board of the Post Bank? I think that is also what we need to establish as the committee. Then, I think, in terms of the banking cards also, let me just conclude with that, and then I think we can do a follow-up after the answers. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Arnold. Honorable Nana.
Chairperson, if you don't mind, I will request your good self to allow me to speak with my video off.
I understand your challenges.
Internet is unstable in the Eastern Cape. Okay. Miss Baggy will know it better because she's also from the Eastern Cape.
She must attend to it.
Yeah. I'm putting on the spot, Chair. Firstly, let me also congratulate you on your academic achievements. And I dare say there is no doubt in my mind that the manner in which you carry yourself and conduct the business of the NCOP really does goes to show that you are a man of good stature. Congratulations on your achievements. I wish to see you very soon in a red academic gown. Please don't borrow Honorable Arnold's red overall.
No, don't start now. You are starting now, Honorable Nana.
No, he knows I'm joking. So I would firstly want to check with the acting CEO. Who is paying or who is managing the payment of the 350 rand that the president announced? I'm asking this, Chair, because I have, where I stay, I have seen long queues of young people coming to receive their 350 rand. And there are risks attached to those long queues. One, there is absolutely no social distancing. People are on top of one another, and the risk of spreading this virus whilst government is trying to do a good thing by subsidizing young people, but it leaves them exposed to COVID infections. So I would want to ask that. That's the first risk as it relates to the payment of the 350 rands. The second risk, Chair, is relating to exposure of staff members to danger, the youth that is in those queues to danger, but also to the huge sums of monies that now the post office finds itself having to handle. Isn't this posing an exposure to thieves and crooks who can attempt to steal these huge sums of money? Isn't there a better and more 21st century method or methods that these 350 rands can be dispersed to our youth? So those two, Chair, relate to the 350 rands. I heard the acting CEO saying at the moment they are operating without a license, or they haven't yet received their license, but they do operate in any case. Aren't they operating illegally? What are the implications of operating a bank without a license? Is it because they are a state bank, they are given preferential treatment? What are the implications if they don't have a license and yet they are operating? I would also want to know, Chair, if Postbank is or will be a lending bank, in other words, will it be issuing loans to individuals and then corporations? If so, if they are a lending bank, like they don't only receive deposits, if they're a lending bank or they intend to lend to issue loans in the long run, what checks and balances are in place to ensure that Postbank is not as exposed as VBS? What checks and balances are in place to ensure that Postbank is not hijacked by politicians and suffer the same fate as VBS? And lastly, Chair, it's again on the issue of risk. I had the CFO, acting CFO, mentioning that they have mitigating strategies to deal with a number of risk factors. But I may have missed it, but I think I did not hear either herself or the acting CEO referring to the risk of international syndicates who are able or who have a capability of compromising internet banking, who have a capability of hacking systems, and not only steal money from your system, but also steal valuable client data that is in your possession. Do you guys have a watertight security insofar as cyber activities are concerned? Thank you very much. I'm sorry for being long, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. Honorable Mdise.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me follow the chairman. Well done. We want to see you next time. We are not going to, we are hope in 2 years we will be calling you Honorable Dr. Honorable Matile. So congratulations. Chairman, I have one question or two questions because some of the questions are covered. But let me start with the one that Honorable Nana spoke about is of the long queue of the grant. I just want to check with the post bank. What happened about the post bank that are in other rural areas? The reason why the queue is too long is because the post office at the rural areas, most in the rural areas are closed. So what happened? Why they are closed? Why can't those people they use it? Because most of the people are from the rural area. They are the one who use the post bank. In town, you cannot, there are few. And like Honorable Nana said, it has a lot of risk. And it's not only for young people that are receiving 350. Even during the old age pension, you will see the long queue of our grandmother, our granny and grandfathers queuing at the post office. And then before, post office used to give them money at their village that they are residing. So maybe they must come up with a mechanism to assist. And Chairperson, when Mr. I don't know, he presented, he mentioned that they bought PP of 2 point something million, but most of the staff are at home. That's why they bought them the laptop. I don't know. I want to check how did they arrive on this 2 point something million on PPE? How many staff and how did they arrive there? What is informing the 2 point something million for PPE? And my concern again, the last question is, I've seen it's acting CEO, it's acting CFO. So when are they going to appoint DG? Oh, it's for DG. When are they going to appoint the permanent staff so that tomorrow when we say something went wrong, we must be able to talk to the people who are having a power to do everything in their own hand. Those are my questions, Chairperson. And again, the issue of, I'm covered about the issue of licensing. Although even Honorable Nana is saying something because it's government entities, they are giving that power to operate on it. But learning is a serious concern. They must make sure that they get that license as soon as yesterday. Yes. Other members have asked them. No, I'm covered, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mudise. Yeah, I'll just have some few remarks before I hand over to the acting DG. The first one, even though it has been asked by other members, how long does it take for the Reserve Bank to consider an application? I looked at the application was put forward in 2017, and now it's 2020. I'm just checking, how long is it, the delay of the Reserve Bank, or delay is with us at the Post Bank in terms of the finalization of the application to be a fully fledged bank, because that's where it starts. If you are still operating and you are not a fully fledged bank, then it creates a lot of challenges. The other remark that I can make is, I saw, and members have raised concern about the COVID-19 grant in terms of the queues and their non-compliance with the COVID-19. We must just make sure that that indeed happens, because this grant is going to be there for 6 months. Is it not going to affect our balance sheet when it's no longer available in terms of the bank? The other one is the waiver to the clients that all banks were required to do. What impact does it have on our operations? On the mitigation of the risks, other members have asked, but the mitigation of land bank was clearly articulated by the interim CEO. I could not hear the mitigation of SAPO on the exposure of the Post Bank to that risk. I think those are, well, of course, my few remarks that I think they should also be taken into consideration. Acting DG. Acting DG.
Thank you. I'm here, Chair. Thank you. Good morning, Chair. Chair, I'm going to, let me respond to the questions. The ones that are related to the department are more the ones for the appointment of the board members. Secondly, there are also questions that are related to South African Post Office that perhaps even Post Bank, because remember, Post Bank uses their footprint of SAPO, not necessarily they're within SAPO branches. So that's the one thing that I wanted to, that some of the questions they may not be fully equipped to respond to. But on the appointment of the board members, the board members of Post Bank are subjected to a test that because we know Post Bank has applied for a license with the Reserve Bank. So there was correspondence sent to the Reserve Bank on the board members that have that are required to undergo the fitness test in line with the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank has since responded, and that response is since it's received, we'll action it to cabinet, and a minister will do the necessary things that are required. Then the next issue that has been asked is so far as the queues. I think Honorable Nana, Honorable Wanya, almost everyone asked the queue about the queue issue. As the department, we've worked very closely. There's a joint a meeting that we have ourselves, SAPO, Post Bank, SASA, and as Department of Social Development, just to manage the whole theme of social grants, and especially during this period of COVID. There is an SMS that is sent to people that are recipients of grants. Maybe you would have noticed it. That says, come to the post office branch on the 2nd of September. The 2nd of September, we are prioritizing disabled persons and the elderly. But young people still go there. They still go there. You cannot go to the, you are discouraged from going to the SAPO branches without you having received the SMS that tells you to come on this day. But our people still go, despite maybe in some instances I would have changed the cell phone number, whatever the situation, but it is the messaging that has been there. We've gone to radio stations to impress upon people that please do not queue, go on the assigned day. But we do understand that, especially the elderly, will still panic and go and queue because they have received the SMS. And at that same time, young people, we've heard this, I was on the CDFM the other day, some young people are selling space for the elderly to be in those queues. So those are the main things that have been happening during this period. In so far as the application for a license by Postbank and related issues, I think they will respond to it. But I just wanted to know, to be noted that Postbank relies on the network of SAPO in order for them to have presence. So if a SAPO branch is closed, even during this COVID, if you recall, banks had a special dispensation during COVID, that banks were allowed, even in what we now know as level 5, to open. But because Postbank relies on SAPO, some of the branches of SAPO would be affected by COVID, or they had to close for whatever reasons, and they would have those challenges. So it's things that are being dealt with. Then the last part, I think it was Honorable Mudisa that she asked about why have people been changed from being paid from a from their rural areas, now they have to go to the branches. SASA post office and SAPO and Postbank have also chosen retailers to actually distribute some of the 350. So you are on the SMS, it's written to that. You can elect that you be paid at a retailer such as Game. That there's a list that is there on the SMS, but people still go there at the post office, even on the day that I'm not designated. I'm going to hand over to the board chair and her team to actually go through the rest of the questions. I thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members. Siyabonga.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Honorable Committee members, for the questions that were asked to the Postbank. I will begin by responding to some of the questions, and thereafter I will give an opportunity to the Acting CEO as well as the Acting CFO to respond to some of the more operational questions. The first question that I'd like to respond to is on the license application. Yes, indeed, the Postbank submitted its banking license application back in July 2017. We then received correspondence from the Reserve Bank to the effect that they would not commence with the review of our application until we had satisfied some of the outstanding requirements. These, firstly, were the amendments that needed to be effected to the Bank Act to enable the Postbank as a public entity to be able to apply for a banking license. So that the amendment to the Act has been effected, that first condition has not been satisfied. The second condition then relates to the amendments that need to be effected to the Postbank Act. Currently, the Postbank Act provides for SAPO to be the holding company of the Postbank. And there has been a concern in that regard from many sectors, and in particular the Reserve Bank. The Reserve Bank, they do not want to extend their oversight responsibilities to the South African Post Office, because the business of the South African Post Office is not financial services. It is not a bank. And also the consideration is around the current financial situation of SAPO, which would then mean that the Postbank, the group and the group would be required to hold significant capital reserves that in order to meet the Reserve Bank's requirements. So in view of the first issue, which relates to SAPO as a holding company, that then necessitated that there needs to be a review of the bank controlling structure in terms of the ownership of the Postbank. So that decision needs to be taken at the shareholder level, which is the department, and obviously engaging with the necessary departments, for instance, with National Treasury. So that is, we await the finalization of the decision on the banking controlling company. And once that decision is made and the amendments to the Postbank Act are then effected, then the Reserve Bank can commence with the consideration of our application. I'd like to also indicate that due to the passage of time, remember we submitted the banking license in 2017. So due to the passage of time, there is information that that needs to be updated. For instance, we have submitted 3-year forecast in 2017. So now we need to then update the financial forecast that we have submitted to the Reserve Bank in our application. And obviously there has been changes, there will be changes as well in terms of the structures within the bank. So we need to provide those updates to the Reserve Bank. So our plan currently is that the updates will be submitted to the Reserve Bank to coincide with the finalization, or rather the assenting of the amendments to the Postbank Act, as well as the decision to be made by government on a bank controlling structure. So we are hoping that all of these events should be finalized at least by the end of the financial year, as the amendment bill has already been submitted to Parliament as well. So that then that talks to the issue around the license. There was a question then from Mr. Nana around is the Postbank possibly operating illegally? Mr. Nana, the Postbank is not operating illegally. The Postbank currently operates under an exemption from the Banks Act. This exemption was granted by the Reserve Bank. So in as much as the Postbank is exempted from operating under the auspices of the banking license, we are still required to adhere to some of the regulatory requirements which the Reserve Bank has made us aware of. Because I think what is important to remember is that we are a deposit-taking institution. We are entrusted with the monies that people have deposited to us. And so we must always demonstrate to the Reserve Bank, even though we are operating under an exemption, that we have the necessary structures, policies, and practices to ensure that people's monies are safeguarded. So what exemption then means is that our service offering is limited because we do not have a banking license, and therefore we are not yet in a position to offer fully fledged retail banking type services. Okay, that is on the license. Then just one thing I want to add on the implications of the license as well is that once the Postbank obtains its banking license, it then becomes guaranteed by the Reserve Bank. And this entails that the Postbank needs to hold a certain minimum level of reserves, which the Reserve Bank will then hold on behalf of the Postbank. So currently, because the Postbank is not regulated, the National Treasury currently guarantees the depositors' funds that are held by the Postbank. And that is why there is then that very important link then with the National Treasury, because of the role that they play within the group in that regard. So the second question that was asked by Mrs. Ngwenya, that around the achievement of the Post Bank in the past 5 years. The board was appointed approximately 3 years ago, and the primary task of the board was to then submit the banking license application and also to ensure the corporatization of the Post Bank and also to capacitate the bank. So there's been significant progress in terms of the corporatization, which could only really start being implemented once there was a separation from the Post Bank, from the SAPO, meaning the transition from a division to being a subsidiary. So we have made significant strides in that regard to position the Post Bank as a corporate, with a corporate structure. And we're currently capacitating now at the various executive levels and ensuring that the bank is also capacitated throughout the organization. So other than the corporatization, our role was also to ensure that we implement the required governance structures, some of which were available by virtue of the relationship with SAPO. But as a post bank board, we then reviewed what governance structures are essential and critical for a banking environment. And the board, together then with management, has been focused on ensuring that the necessary governance structures are in place, which include the development of processes, of policies and processes and procedures. And one of the other achievements of the Post Bank during this time frame was also its involvement in the SASA project, working together with SAPO to ensure that this project is then implemented. And we're still, while there have been challenges, but we have really managed to jointly with SAPO to ensure that we successfully deliver on the project. So at a high level, those are some of the key achievements as a post bank, also ensuring that we remain profitable as a company, to ensure that we're sustainable going into the future. Then there was a question around ATMs. As part of our digitization strategy, this includes putting in place an ATM network. So we're cognizant that many of the bigger banks, they are now reducing their ATM footprint. But for us as a post bank, it's still very necessary for us to have that presence. So we are taking a very strategic approach in how we then deploy that ATM network throughout South Africa. And certainly we anticipate that by the end of the financial year, then we should begin with the implementation of the ATMs in the identified strategic areas. I'm just going to then step into the question that was asked by Mr. Nana around cybercrime, because that is also related to the digital services offering. It is very important for us as the Post Bank that as we enter into this digital space, to be mindful then we potentially open ourselves, you know, for those syndicates that may want to achieve their own illegal intentions. And it certainly it then becomes very important for us to ensure that we're very aware of cybercrime and what security measures we need to have in place. So we have a very competent CIO who is currently putting the necessary strategy and initiatives in place to ensure that when we then implement our digital strategy, that we will limit any potential exposure. Obviously, this becomes an ongoing initiative, because we all aware that these syndicates, they are very innovative, always trying new different methods. So we always will have to then keep abreast of these new innovations and what we need to do to ensure that that we not only protect the Post Bank from potential cybercrime, but we also protect our customers' information and protect our depositors' funds. Then in terms of, there was a question then from Mr. Arnold around how is Post Bank dealing with fraudulent transactions. I will leave that for the acting CEO to respond to, and also around the grant payments systems. And then in terms of the question around the employees, the stole data from the bank, I'd just like to just put that into perspective that there hasn't been any employees who have stole data from the bank, but what transpired was that the Post Bank, the implicated employees did not adhere to best practice standards when there was a transfer of data, a migration from one IT area to another. And in doing so, they potentially compromised information which relates to SASSA cards. So they did not adhere to the standards, but not necessarily that there was the information landed in the hands of these syndicates that were very wary of. And the action that has been taken by the Post Bank is to review the entire IT environment, and in particular, the security policies and procedures, and to ensure that they adhere to best practice standards. So the review has taken place, and where gaps have been identified, the necessary measures have then been implemented. And then what has also been done is that the implicated employees were then suspended. There were three employees who were suspended from a Post Bank point of view. We have received finalization of the disciplinary process of one of those individuals, and we're still awaiting the finalization of one case. Then with the third individual, their contract came to an end during the process, so we therefore could not proceed on the basis because we are unable to then basically make any sanction against the employee because they are no longer an employee of the Post Bank. Then in terms of stability at the board, I think the acting DG has already addressed this partially. The current board was only five members were appointed for the current board. And during that process, there has been one resignation, which was the former CEO of SAPO. So currently, the Post Bank has four board members. And I also want to add that the appointment of five members is consistent with the provisions of the Post Bank Act, that with the inaugural board, that there should be at least a minimum of five members appointed. But as the acting DG has already indicated, that the ministry is running with the process, and there's already been an announcement of four board members who will constitute the new board as the existing board term is coming to an end. Just one thing that I'd like to make the committee aware of is that unlike any of the other entities, the process to appoint board members as well as executives for the Post Bank does tend to be to take quite a while. And this is really because of the fit and proper assessment that all of these individuals need to go through. Now, the fit and proper assessment is a requirement of the Banks Act. And while we do not have a license as yet, the decision was taken that as the Post Bank, at least in as far as it relates to ensuring that the people who are appointed at the highest level in the organization, we need to ensure that they do meet the requirements by the Reserve Bank, so as to ensure that when the license application is then being considered by the Reserve Bank, we do not run the risk that board members or executives will be deemed not fit and proper by the Reserve Bank, and therefore they cannot be retained by the company. So the approach that has been taken is to ensure that all of these individuals are deemed fit and proper by the Reserve Bank before they are appointed. And unfortunately, it is a process that does take quite a while. It can take anything from 3 to 4 months before it is finalized by the Reserve Bank. And this is because the initial assessment is done by external auditors before the information is then submitted to the Reserve Bank for the Reserve Bank's final review. So that impacts then on the process to appoint the board members as well as the process to appoint executives. And then there was a question on, I think that the question was from Mrs. Modise around appointing permanent staff. So certainly as the Postbank board, I must say that we have had a bit of a challenge in terms of attracting banking professionals. We find ourselves in a situation where we have to attract people who are very wary of working within the state-owned entity environment. And another challenge as well is being able to meet the salary requirements that most of these individuals have. I think you understand with the banking sector that individuals are paid very well, very generously, not only salaries, but also they have incentive schemes, which we do not have, as well as short option schemes, which the Postbank does not have. So those are some of the challenges that we experience as we then recruit for the executives. But we've made significant progress. Some of the permanent appointments that we have made, a very critical position within the risk environment is for the chief risk officer. But we then continue, and we're very close to finalizing the recruitment process for the CEO as well as the CFO. Both of these positions are now at the stage where the fit and proper assessments are being finalized, and then a recommendation can be made to the minister. Then in terms of okay, on lending, I'll leave that to the acting MD to respond to. Yeah, I think that is it from my side, Chairperson. I think I'll now give an opportunity to our acting CEO to respond to the remainder of the questions. Thank you.
Acting CEO.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. I'm going to try and start it from the top, and then there's one or two that I would request the CFO to also give an input into. The honourable Ngwenya asked for information around the split between urban and rural areas. I tried to get that information available to us, especially splitting on provinces, because the SALPO network is split on the regions, and we do not have that information readily available. But I will pursue that, and then I will, through the channels, make that information available to the committee as soon as I can after the meeting, if you will, with your indulgence, Chairperson. Thank you very much. What I would like to just briefly just step back and reflect on the delivery, specifically from a SASSA perspective, the roles and responsibilities on the entire process. Chairperson, honourable members, you will realise that obviously the administration of SASSA grants, the application and the approval of a grant, that is the mandate of SASSA. And they decide who get a grant and who not. Once that is approved, then it is the prerogative of the individual to decide how and where do they want to get their grant paid. They have an open choice to open a bank account at any of the banks, Or should they then wish is to take this new SASSA SALPO / Postbank card that Postbank and SALPO started. And then their grant will be paid into that grant, into the account. So the account and the card is issued by Postbank, but the contract certainly belongs to the post office. And Postbank in this environment, in this instance, is actually a subcontractor to SALPO to fulfill the banking requirements for making this whole solution work. There was a question also around the previous process that CPS used, where there was lots of cash pay points in the specialty in the rural areas that have been reduced. I think it was reduced from somewhere just below 10,000 to about 1,500. Now, I don't want to just pass the buck, but obviously the decision on where cash pay points need to be established to pay beneficiaries in cash, that is a prerogative of SASSA, and they are dealing with that matter. But the Chairperson, that's a bit of a background into the process. What Postbank, SALPO, as well as SASSA is working on behind the scenes at COVID-19, have put some brakes on that, but what we are working on, and I will give information around the systems that we do, is our digital strategy that we talked about is primarily focused on that. Postbank is, as the Chairperson already alluded to, is final stages of awarding a tender for ATM, own ATM network. Certainly and that is going to it's in the process of going to the board for approval. Now, certainly one of the Postbank's strategic placements of these ATMs would be areas where there are a high concentration of SASSA beneficiaries. I don't think it would be good to accept that we will have an ATM at every post office, but we would certainly need to be careful where we place ATMs so that we can have a maximum catchment of beneficiaries and try to eliminate the, as Mr. Nyana indicated, the process of paying cash in the rural areas is costly. It's risky to everybody. So if we can assist them with alternative methods, that is our strategy. We do not have target dates at this point in time, but our overall strategy is to work with SASSA to get an alternative in place, and that is also linked to our financial literacy program. How do we understand the needs of the communities and then come up with solutions? That is. Chairperson, honorable members, the second item that we are dealing with in terms of digital digitization of our offering is to have a point of sale acquiring license so that we can appoint merchants in the rural areas who do not qualify to have a point of sale a contract with one of the big banks, and we will have a different mandate towards that, so that we can provide them with tools and equipment so that they can accept plastic, any cards for the beneficiaries to use. So as to remove the need for cash. The third and probably one of the most important projects, investments that we are busy with is to upgrade our banking functionality to offer a full-fledged digital and mobile banking solution. That would then provide the beneficiaries to transact digitally. They can have access to their bank account via their cell phone, via internet banking. It will be linked also to mobile money at a later stage, so that the mobile banking solution will provide a full fledge of all functionalities, person-to-person transfers, payments, and then obviously linked to their account. Now, as the chairperson alluded, we are also busy with the total revamp of Postbank's IT infrastructure, with the focus on security to support this digital channels. Because at the moment, customers do not have direct access to their bank accounts through internet banking or any of these channels, except at the ATM to withdraw money. So as we enter into that fray, top of mind would be what is the securities, what is the firewalls required to be implemented to make sure that we protect ourselves, our customers, and everybody from hackers and the likes. So that is that. I think from that there's a couple of questions that linked into that, into our ATM plans. I would just like to touch base on the reference to Honourable Member Arnold in terms of fraudulent activities. At the moment, we have two that was also covered somewhat in the media. The one instance is the instance that the chairperson referred to when we moved the SASA solution from the Postbank, the SAPO environment to a new environment to create a better capacity. Those individuals did not follow normal procedure in terms of the way that they secured the card, issued the card keys. But I can give unequivocal guarantee and that no SASA beneficiary data were compromised in the process. It was only the security on the cards. Secondly, I would like to give the assurance that not a single SASA beneficiary, legitimate beneficiary, has been compromised or negatively impacted by this compromise of the keys on the cards. Not a single one. It hasn't cost them a cent. It hasn't impacted SASA or SAPO at this point in time. The measures that we've been taken put in place with the Reserve Bank, and I might say that all the directives that the Reserve Bank instructed Postbank to do in this regard have been met. The only outstanding item is the total replacement of all these compromised cards with a new card. We are working with both SAPO and SASA on the design of a new card, and hopefully once the systems are in place, as well as the COVID-19 restrictions have been removed and the likes, we will start a process to do that. But no person have been compromised, and the steps that we've taken, we have not had any incidents of the use of these compromised cards that was stolen at post offices and the like since February this year. So that environment is very stable. On the second question, and this is a little bit this is a little more difficult for me to answer to, but maybe the main risk that we have with card fraud, unfortunately, is illegal card reissues that's taking place at post office branches. In some cases, there is collusion with SASA colleagues, employees that have access to information of payments that is due, a large payment for people that get backdated pay, and there's the collusion between SAPO employees and SASA on then doing an illegal card swap to a fraudster who would then clean out the account before the beneficiary can get to their money. Now, we have a SLA with SASA to reimburse such beneficiaries within 14 days of establishing that fraud has taken place to make sure that they are not inconvenienced too much. The money that we've paid up to now is in the region of 74 million rand. And in terms of the agreement between SALPO, First Bank and SASSA, at the end of the day, where the fraud took place, if the fraud took place as collusion between SASSA and SALPO, or only at the SALPO branch, or at the Post Bank, we haven't had any of those, but if it's there, then that entity will take the risk. So these beneficiaries that we've reimbursed, that money will be recovered from SALPO or SASSA, as the case may be. Is our systems at this point in time ready to combat this fraud? The answer is not 100%. We have made some changes since March 2019 to implement an improved inventory card management system, which helped a lot, because from May 2019 we saw after the implementation of that there was a drastic reduction in that fraud. It is still there, and we are still working very strongly with all colleagues in this regard to counter that. Part of the Postbank's strategy is also to, with the upgrading of our core banking application, as I said, the new hardware infrastructure and the likes, we have plans to, in time, to migrate the SASSA beneficiaries from the system that we currently use into our core banking application and systems. We do not experience this at the moment. But in the meantime, we're working with everybody involved to find loopholes and to address those weaknesses. As I already confirmed, there was no data lost or data stolen through that unfortunate incident when the security keys were compromised. I think I've already alluded to this one, but just to recap on the responsibility. As I said, Postbank's responsibility primarily is to offer banking solutions and to process the transactions that beneficiaries go to a post office or a ATM or a merchant to receive it. Unfortunately for us, I wouldn't try to comment too much on that, because the process of withdrawing cash at the post office branch, those processes and the responsibility for queue management and the likes sits with SALPO and not with Postbank, so I would be hesitant to comment on that on behalf of SALPO. But I must say, Jefferson, honorable members, it is not that easy, because some of these beneficiaries go to ATMs, and it's not always possible, practical, to have that supervision and monitoring in place. And we also rely on citizens to maintain their social distancing. I touched base on the exposure and the risk to staff, replacing the predominantly cashless system with an alternative digital one. So that is on the card. And the hackers, I've dealt with that. In terms of the loans, Chairperson, honorable members, Postbank is not ready there yet to say this is the type of loans that we are going to do and the like. We are still working on our strategies around that, but predominantly we will target small individual loans, unsecured loans, and then also we call it, I think the term is commercial, small commercial loans for SMMEs and farmers. That can use small loans in terms of their business. Wholesale lending, lending to corporates and the likes is not on the radar at this point in time. And certainly we can give the assurance that due processes and policies will be in place to make sure that we do not have a repeat of what happened at VBS. Honorable Modise referred to the long queues at SALPO's, which I tried to address by the fact that we are working with everybody to get a digital solution in there to reduce that risk. In terms of the cost so far, in terms of the SASA, I think the total cost that it cost the Post Bank to react to the COVID-19 is actually very small in the bigger scheme of things. It is about in the presentation on slide 72, it's about 158,000 Rand for data for people who didn't use previously had need for data usage so that they can work from home. We procured about 130 laptops in Bloemfontein operations area predominantly, where employees who used to have normal PCs, desktop PCs, that they would be able to work from home. So that's about 130 laptops that we procured for that. But it also then set us up for the future. It's part of our business continuity plan that we know that if another disaster strikes, these employees can work from home or anywhere else. Mask sanitizers was not that significant, about 30,000 Rand that we spent on that, and decontamination of our offices about 57,000 Rand. And then ad hoc expenses in terms of transport, people who had to transport outside the normal areas, is about 17,000. And then in order to enable us to convert our call center that is predominantly in-office call center to allow people to access it from home, we had to spend about 168,000 on that. So the total cost of 2 million on COVID directly on protecting and making sure that we can continue business is about 2 million Rand, which I think is reasonably insignificant with some of the costs out there. I'm not sure whether the chairperson would like to comment on the time it takes for the SARB to consider the license application, but I think if I'm not mistaken, chairperson of Post Bank, I think it's between 3 and 6 months that SARB will respond to that once they received all the documentation. So now once the Post Bank Act have been processed, we will submit and then that process will go. Sample queues, I've done that, and then I'm going to just touch on the exposure to SARPO, and then I would request my colleague CFO to add if she wants to, and perhaps the our board chair. Our exposure to SARPO at this point in time, and is in the region of just over 1.2 billion Rand. And this is money that we've transferred to SARPO to enable them to pay social grants. Now, the way that we are handling that risk is SARPO has acknowledged that they owe us the money, and they have agreed in principle to enter into a loan agreement with the Post Bank to cover this loan, and that it will be recovered as soon as they receive an anticipated allocation from National Treasury through their midterm budgets. Now, this is still work in progress. It has not been concluded, but once that is concluded, part of the process is also that our ministry, as well as obviously the Minister of Finance, the National Treasury, not the Minister of Finance, National Treasury, will be alluded to this arrangement between the two entities. I think I've covered all of that. In essence, I don't know if you want to add anything or maybe perhaps our chair would like to add something in terms of this exposure to SARPO. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
I wouldn't want to add anything. I think you've covered it nicely. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. the chair of the board.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think from my side, it's just on how long it will take for the Reserve Bank to consider the application. It is approximately 60 days from the time when they receive the complete application. So it's approximately 60 days thereafter that we can expect to get the initial response from them.
Okay. Acting DG, are you fine?
Thank you, Honorable Cheche. I just wondered on the issue of the bills, the amendments that have been mentioned that are outstanding. Those have already are within the DG's cluster. They've already been discussed. And there are engagements that we're having with National Treasury in this respect. Did DG Shalembe did present these already, I think, at the beginning of July, the bills. So the bills are on track. We are just requiring just the necessary approvals within the structures of the cluster system. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG. I'm just checking with members if there is any member that want to make a follow-up question. Member Arnold?
Chairperson, no. I think in the next round when we have the post bank again, we can definitely put the other question.
Thank you very much. Honorable Ngwenya. Are you covered? Honorable Nana.
Sure. You know, I hate man to delay my point. The response on the risk as it relates to cyber crime. Well, with utmost respect, they tried to respond to it, but you know, probably not to try and drag this meeting. You can ask Postbank to submit a little bit of a more detailed response, because it was quite frankly, you know, it never delved into some required details. I do understand the security matter; they can't divulge every bit of information. You know, just to say, yeah, we are doing everything we can not to protect, not only to protect ourselves, but also our clients and their money and that data. You know, to me, wasn't so good enough. And I'm saying, understanding that it's a security issue, and they may not necessarily be at liberty to divulge, you know, deeper details. But having said that, at least I would have expected a lot more satisfactory response. I don't know if I understand where I'm coming from, Chair.
Yeah, I do understand. I think they still got other items that they need to submit in terms of the data. We can request them to submit that as well. Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. Honorable Mdisa?
No, I'm covered, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Plute. You are covered.
Chairperson, I'm covered, thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, and to the Acting DG and the Chairperson of the Board. I think in terms of other issues that require extensive response, we request that you give a response, you communicate Acting DG with our office and give response. It's not going to be the last time we meet you. From the discussion, I've realized that it might be necessary that when we call Postbank, we also call SAPO.
Yes.
Same time. Yeah, so that whenever there are other issues that are related to SAPO, we are able to deal with them. It might also require us at some stage, honorable members, to have a joint meeting with social development so that SASA is also included in our discussion. But other matters relating to the amendments of the Postbank Acting DG, I hope you'll be able to deal with that and ensure that indeed this application is processed. As the committee will be looking at the issues relating to the processing of the application, we'll do oversight on it to make sure that during our term of office, we have got a full complement of a post bank or a state bank that will assist our people in rural areas. It will be a very good achievement, more especially looking at the footprint of the post bank and SAPO in rural areas, and also the financial sector to address issues that affect our people, the previously disadvantaged people. Thank you very much, Acting DG, for being with us, even though you had cabinet committees and everything, you were able to split to come and engage with us. I was speaking to the committee that when we have Wednesday meetings, we must make sure that at least we have them in the late hours after you have finished your cabinet, so that the minister and the deputy minister are also present. We'll look into that and see how it also cover us. I think the other area that we must emphasize on the post bank is the issue of the research, the issue of digitalization strategy. They must emphasize that so that the footprint of the bank is everywhere, and the issue of mitigating on the risk, I think, is quite important. It might be an area that can let us down in terms of our application to the Reserve Bank if we don't deal with it decisively. Thank you very much, Acting DG, the Chairperson, CEO, Acting CEO. You are released. We want to remain as members.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Loli, is there any issue? I hope the minutes were presented to members quite early.
No, Chair. No, Chair. Most of the meetings that we held them jointly with the portfolio committees. So we cannot adopt them alone.
We cannot adopt them alone. All right.
Except that I've emailed members the program for the fourth term.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm hoping members have received the program for the fourth term. And thank you very much, honorable members. And we also want to take this opportunity to thank you for attending this very important meeting. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair Pazan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Chair, and sorry, well done. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Clute.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.